so am I correct, Christine, that we have, are we at full capacity at 9 members?
Or, mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And we are short of 9, but we don't need a quorum to vote today, so we'll go ahead and call the May 2nd meeting of the Environmental Advisory Committee to order. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda?
Yes.
Great. Any revisions? Additions?
And I did add the LID statement and the volunteer opportunities. So that's new from when I sent it out last week.
Yeah. The only thing I had, Christine, was, I'm sorry, I was traveling when we put this together.
Yeah, no problem.
Is we don't have to vote on it today, but today is effectively my last meeting. And so what I would recommend is that we have a little bit of discussion over who wants to either, you know, put their name in the hat as chair, or we can nominate somebody and then potentially vote on that at the July meeting, July 11th. So.
And we can vote over email.
Correct.
So we could do that too.
Yeah. I mentioned before we got started, but I'm happy to stay involved and, mm-hmm. you know, help however possible. So this is not a riding off in the sunset scenario. So with that, I would just say we add officer discussion to new business. We'll just get rolling. Since we don't have a quorum, I don't think there's a need to vote on the agenda necessarily. let's go around the room and just do introductions. Steven's a new member with us. He took Kelly's spot. Kelly had a conflict with young children to be able to make our meetings, and so Steven was ready and able to join us, and so welcome, Steven. If you want to just say a little bit about yourself and what brought you to this committee, we'll do the same so we can have some level of familiarity amongst each other.
Okay. Steven Tillotson. My day job, I'm a park ranger at Chimney Rock State Park. I've been with the state for about 14 years. I was at Jordan Lake before. I've been in this area about 6-plus years now. Just purchased a home on the west side of the county across from West Henderson. Expanding my familiarity with the area. I'm a certified environmental educator through parks programs. I studied biology, environmental science in college days. International travel, doing some studies on that. And member of a couple of different organizations. I volunteer a lot with Conserving Carolina, Mountain True, things like that. And then they realize I should probably pay membership dues to some freaking mm-hmm. benefits. And just getting the newsletters, I saw an announcement. They needed applicants for communities, civil service like this, to roll here. So applied. Recommendations, I guess, didn't lie. So.
Great.
Well, great. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, I'm Grady Nance. I'm a retiree for 6 years here. Last worked in Michigan doing solar energy projects, wind energy projects. Before that, I did a lot of energy mergers and acquisition type work. So I got a lot of financial background as well. But I'm a renewable guy.
My name is Andy Myers. I work for a nonprofit called Working Films, where we use documentaries to educate the public on environmental issues. I studied environmental studies in school, and I was a big fan of the show Parks and Recreation, and wanted to join a committee to see what local government is all about. Yeah.
Ryan Cannon, like I said earlier, last meeting with EAC officially, but my day job is a business banker with First Citizens, so very much business development oriented. I've always had a passion for environment, the outdoors, nature. I grew up in Hendersonville, went to school at Appalachian, and just confirmed that mountain life is the life I need to live. And got 2 young kids, and that's really affirmed those same values. I'm on the board of Conserving Carolina, Four Seasons Hospice, Parks and Greenways board for Laurel Park, and the Music Association as well. But it's been great. We've really done good work here. I think it's been a good team effort. So I would the one thing I would say, Stephen, really anybody, there's no such thing as a dumb question. You know, if there's something that's important to you, our role here is as appointed citizens by the BOC what's important to us, you know, is a way for the BOC to understand what's important to citizens. And so if there's something that's keeping you up at night or not even that, you know, glaring as an environmental concern, then it's important for us to talk about. And sometimes those things will change. What we've done historically is had kind of consensus meetings early in the year, September, July, something like that, to talk about what we're going to focus on. So where we're at in the budget year for the county, the budget year being July 1 to June 30th, I may have that backwards, but thereabouts, it is, we follow that timetable. So we're kind of in the last couple months of the fiscal year for the county. So you'll hear lots of folks talking about budget as well as we're going around. Christine?
Hey, I'm Christine Brown, the Environmental Programs Coordinator and the County Liaison. So my job is to kind of communicate with the staff of the county and then the EAC and, you know, communicate what's going on. And I have been in this position about 8 months. And so before that, I was at the environmental nonprofit GreenWorks. And I'm also president of Environmental Educators of North Carolina. So you as a certified environmental educator stood out to me. Mm-hmm. And I know Emily, I think we talked about that. But yeah, just let me know if you need anything, and I'll usually email a week before the meeting and ask for agenda items. So if there's anything you'd like to add, please feel free to email me about it. Or it doesn't have to be during that time. Just anytime, just email me with anything you'd like to talk about, and I'll add to the agenda.
And I'm Rebecca McCall, and I'm the commissioner that we decided the group needed a commissioner liaison.
We wanted you.
They needed someone, but we wanted you.
We lucked out.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. I do have a business background, business management. Mostly spent my career solving problems. So I'm a problem solver. But very familiar and participated in construction of LEED certified buildings. So that gets into the environmental side of things. The Board of Commissioners is very considerate of what you do and appreciate all that you do and take your comments to heart. And we appreciate the letter that was presented regarding the upcoming proposal for Taproot Dairy. Don't think that anything that you do is a waste of time, because it is not. So I have 4 more years left on the Board of Commissioners, so hopefully I can continue to be involved for a while.
First of all, I apologize for being late. Four Seasons was a little bit of a zoo, and it's not even Friday.
I was there with you.
Oh, my God. Well, you made it.
I was trying to find my way around, you know. I was going up 7th Avenue and across.
I can't half drive, so I just do it like this. Anyway, I'm Lucy Butler. Welcome, Stephen. I have no background at all in environmental science or no qualification in terms of being here other than being a lifelong environmentalist. And I'm a retired speech-language pathologist, and I work for Pardee and other hospitals in South Carolina. So I love Hendersonville. I love Henderson County, and I just want to see us do everything that we possibly can to maintain the beauty and the integrity and look at sustainability and things like that. And so that's about all I can say about that. But that letter was good.
Yes.
That was a great letter.
I'm Matt Champion. I am the project development planner upstairs in the planning department. I'm not on the committee, but I'm here just to participate and listen and see what all transpires down here. So.
Thanks for being here, Matt. That's good.
All right. Well, thanks for everyone for doing introductions. I want to apologize to Christine. If it were Snake, it would have bit me, but B was upcoming vacancies and nominations. It was there, so I apologize.
Yeah, check.
Sorry about that. So vacancies and nominations, I'm not certain if we have to have a vice chair in the bylaws. I'm a little muddied on that with other...
I don't think we do,
but... our chair basically serves for, is it
every year we nominate a chair, or is it a 2 year?
I think it's 2 years.
2 years. Oh, okay. So we need to think about who has 2 years left on their term, and if you're still in your first term, then you know you could, at the pleasure of the Board of Commissioners, you could serve a second term. So I will say it's not very labor intensive. You know, I mean, a lot of it is utilizing Christine and Marcus and our other staff like Autumn, John Mitchell, Commissioner McCall as well, to help us stay on the straight and narrow. One of the things that's probably most critical to be cognizant of is what's relevant to Henderson County. And when I say that, I mean like what are other counties in North Carolina doing, similar size, things of that nature. I mean, one of the worst things we can do is try to do what it's a good and a bad example, but Asheville, Seattle, I mean, those it's not Henderson County. And so I would say as whoever feels compelled to become a leader of the committee, think about that, because it has to be relevant to what Henderson County either has currently or is planning to do. And we have a lot of good energy behind the committee, so I would say just keep that in mind, whoever decides to take over.
And in the bylaws, it does say the chair will be selected by the Board of Commissioners. And so I don't know, in the past, have the committee made a recommendation to mm-hmm. the Board of Commissioners? Okay. And then it does say the vice chair, so there is a vice chair, my bad, shall be elected by a majority vote of the committee.
Okay. Well, good.
Do we have a vice chair name?
We don't.
So sorry about that. Overlooked.
I mean, basically, the way a vice chair would operate is if the chair is not able to be here, you could still conduct business with the vice chair present, a quorum, things of that nature. So I think that's good just as far as having continuity of business, because mm-hmm. one of the things that we've been challenged with over the years is we've gone as frequent as monthly meetings, as infrequent as quarterly meetings, and bi-monthly seems to work the best based on what we're working on as far as topics, but also to make everyone feel like their time is being well utilized. But that's really up to the pleasure of this committee. So if you all decide in the next year, monthly or quarterly works, then you just have to vote on it. That's really how it works. So I don't know if you want to talk about nominations today. We have a quorum present now. It's really what you all feel compelled to do, because I'm bowing out after this song finishes playing today. Nice. Officially, so if you all want to discuss, that's totally fine. If you have questions of me or Christine,
You know, Philip's not here, but he seems to be very passionate, and I think he could do a good job.
Yes, that's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
Is Philip, does
I do know
he
that
have
he's
much
got
time?
He's got
sometimes
other commitments. He was one of the committee members who wanted us to walk back a little bit from monthly meetings, because he's a member of the Recreation Advisory Board. And he's got a young family as well. He's got 2 kids in the age of 5, so he's juggling like all of us are. Chris was another name, but he's not here. I'm not sure where Chris is in his term.
And Philip, this is his 4th year.
Okay, so this is last year.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be eligible. But
Chris,
first appointed in 2015, expires 2020, June next year. So you do it for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe we could have someone after that do it for 2.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is just because you're vice chair doesn't mean you're the heir apparent to take mm-hmm. over. So don't feel like you're taking that position. You're going to get moved in. I mean, it would. There is a progression, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we could also think about it. You know, the EAC could get a recommendation or a. I guess a recommendation to the BOC following our July meeting. That's totally mm-hmm. fine as well. Something to think about. We would need at a minimum a chair to operate. The chair is basically between Christine and the chair. That's your what would you call it? Your conduit to the Board of Commissioners through Terry as well, Rebecca. So. It's not a lot of legwork. It's not labor intensive. And I say that as someone who's treasurer of 2
mm-hmm.
boards, which are pretty intensive.
Yeah.
So this is light duty.
Brady, would you consider vice chair?
Vice chair would be fine. I'm treasurer of the Mountain True organization, and it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And so I'm concerned about the time requirement.
We have some members who I haven't seen come to this meeting in a while. I don't know if any of them.
Is there a problem with the time that the meeting is held, maybe?
That's possible.
I mean.
Something we could look at. Are there other members on there who are questionable status, Christine?
Well, Jan, but she's been to a couple.
Yeah, and her term expires with mine, I believe.
So it's Jan, you, and Philip. So we have three openings, and Kelly was the one that Stephen replaced.
And is Anne Green still?
But I never met Kelly.
She came to one meeting, I think, and then we really had a lot of trouble getting her to come.
Oh, and Anne, yeah.
What I would recommend with Anne Green, she was a very consistent member years ago, but Rachel before Christine and myself have not been able to make contact with her. She was formerly a member of she is a member of our committee and was on the Environmental Sustainability Board for the city. But what I would recommend is we vote, and this would, I believe, have to go to Terry to create a vacancy, but to basically take her off our rolls, and so that folks in the community know there's availability, and they would talk about that at the Board of Commissioners meeting. And if you have friends who may be interested, if like they could add value, you know, certainly talk about it amongst your circles.
Yeah, that's really the best way to get people involved, is because you have the same interest. They have to have an interest in this to be involved. Mm-hmm. And so if you know people who might be interested in participating, you can actually download the application online at the county website. So.
That's right. Yeah, it's really easy.
I think we all have.
Yeah. Yeah. So encourage, you know, anybody that you know to try to participate.
And I can send out the application after this meeting, so you can.
So there's four vacancies then?
Now there's four. Yes. Mm. Three that are they're expiring, and one if y'all vote to replace Anne Green.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a big turnover.
It is, but I will say. That's fairly consistent with how we were, how Anne, Philip, myself, and Janet came on, because it was basically like hockey line changes, if you're familiar, like where everybody, you know, they just clear out just by the nature of the way this organization has operated so far. So you guys will be the institutional memory. But
after y'all cycle off, what's the folks who got here soon after y'all, how many years would they have been here?
I think our next class would be first appointed. Looks like 2 years later, Grady.
Okay.
Lucy, you're in your second term.
So that's some knowledge.
What I think we ought to do today is, if y'all are comfortable with voting, vote to remove Anne Green based on just
lack of attendance.
Yeah, lack of attendance. Thank you. And then that way, the Terry and the Board of Commissioners understand that we have vacancies, and then we can talk amongst our circles and at the next board meeting. Be discussed.
Mm-hmm. And what's the turnaround timeline usually? From having a vacancy to filling it?
Just next board meeting.
Oh,
it's like
literally.
2 weeks.
Oh.
You need every
but then
weeks.
I need to submit that request to Terry well in advance. So.
Should we have a vice chair? Should we vote for a vice chair now, so in case we don't have a chair yet at the next meeting, we actually have a vice chair that can run the meeting?
I think that sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
You're it. All in favor? Aye.
Fine.
Yeah, but to answer your question, we will actually have, we have a meeting Monday night, and then we'll actually have three more meetings before your next meeting, so surely within that time we could get the applications in and approved, and it's really, I've never known the commission commissioners to not approve somebody, because it goes through a little bit of a review before it even comes to us.
Right.
And I help review applications, and then I make a recommendation. So I vetted Stephen really hard, and he had some great recommendations.
We talked about you.
Maybe he should be chair.
Welcome.
Okay, well, that sounds good.
And then should we do a vote, Ann?
I think so. So we'll vote to remove Ann as a member because of lack of attendance. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Good deal. So Sustainability Plan 2020. You want to kick that off, Christine?
Yeah, so this is something that Andy and I have kind of been talking about, having a sustainability plan or setting sustainability goals. Currently, the county does not have one, and I think it would be great to have some kind of guiding document, plan, goals, so that, one, we know where we're at currently, and, two, we know where we want to go in the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know, there's some great sustainability plans across the nation. Even, you know, Buncombe County has one that Andy sent me. And I've been looking at Denver's, too, because what I like about theirs is they have an internal and external sustainability plan. And the internal is for government buildings and, you know, the employees. And then the external is for the community, the county as a whole. And so recently we had our first sustainability committee, and Matt, he joined. I was talked about recycling and got real goofy, tried to be Leslie Note. So so that was the first kickoff of the sustainability committee for internally. And then after that, we created a working subcommittee that then will be working on the internal part, setting the goals for the employees in government buildings. So I was going to present today, and then Andy was like, hey, we need a sustainability plan. And I was like, yes, we're like thinking on the same page. So I'd like to present today to see if y'all would be interested in making that be a project, and also see if you have any additions.
Yeah, I think since we have been meeting now 6 times a year, a couple meetings ago, I think we were tasked with looking at other counties of similar size to figure out the other projects that we might be able to replicate here. And when I was talking to folks for ideas, including Mountain True, who led a webinar about committees like this that I joined to talk about why you should join environmental committees, I reached out to them to say, what do y'all think? You know, I did the webinar, now what? And it just kept coming up, like, well, do y'all have a sustainability plan? And essentially their point was, you know, it's great to come up with ideas, but if you have that guiding document or that flag post that's 5 years into the future, you can use that to think about where to spend your time. And I think, yeah, as we're meeting more regularly, even just the planning process itself could be something that we can spend our time on. And Mountain True specifically had a lot of ideas around public input to make sure there's broad community buy-in, and to make sure it's relevant to, like, to Ryan's point, to make sure it's relevant to Henderson County. So she had lots of ideas for ways that we could specifically get that buy-in from the public and have them be a part of the planning process. And I invited her to this meeting thinking it was next Thursday.
I'm so sorry about that.
But
who's the she?
Well, so they're formerly Mountain True. It's Joan Walker.
Oh, I know Joan.
Yeah.
Very well.
She was really great. She just had a lot of enthusiasm about it.
She's wonderful.
And I think she could come to the next one if we want to carry this idea forward and have some more examples. She's better at articulating it than I am. But I think, yeah, she's just done it before. And yeah, that was her whole big thing, was it could be a great way to leverage us and the energy we have. And she had lots of strategies for making it relevant to Henderson County and getting the buy-in.
And I liked what you said about she has knowledge of how to properly engage the community.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, you know, I don't have too much experience with, so I appreciate that expertise.
Nice.
And then also appreciate y'all's expertise on creating this plan, like Grady, renewable energy.
Okay.
And then we got Chris, engineering, and just like everybody's expertise. So, you know, that's, y'all are experts in areas that, you know, I'm not necessarily yet. So I'd appreciate y'all's input. help guide it.
So let me ask you about the internal sustainability committee that you and Matt are part of. Is that to look at things like energy consumption for the county and things of that nature, or like what's the purview of that committee?
Yeah, it's to focus on waste reduction, energy, water, and maybe even health too.
Oh, wow.
So kind of look at it all together.
Okay, great.
Those four pillars?
Yeah, and I can send the overview too.
What about like solar panels or things like energy?
Yeah, I think that'd be with energy. But yes, very interested in that.
Can you say those four again?
Waste reduction, energy, water, and health.
Cool.
But I think the working committee for the sustainability committee can kind of pick those focus areas, then we can pick our focus areas, and then maybe combine the two and kind of see what each committee's maybe missed. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Because I think the first step would be, like, what topics do we want to focus on? Mm-hmm. Those are just the ones I'm presenting, but I don't want that to be the end all.
The other thing I would mention, some of the easy wins, low-hanging fruit we've found so far with EAC, and we haven't had, huge ones so far, but one of the best litmus tests, if I leave you with nothing else, keep this in mind, find stuff that's budget neutral or budget mm-hmm. positive. That's the best way.
Oh, yeah.
That is always the best way, because that's music to our folks in administration's ears, so, and ours too, because we're taxpayers, so that's mm-hmm. it's all good. Everybody's happy when that's the case. Just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does the city have a sustainability plan?
I'm not sure.
Because I would think it would be a good idea to work in concert with the city and not reinvent the wheel if possible.
Yes, that's a great idea. Yeah. Does anybody else know?
I don't think the city does. I think they have a
comprehensive plan. I thought they did. I thought they had a sustainability plan. Because I think that would be a great starting point.
Yeah.
Would anybody be willing to check for me?
I can do that.
All right, thank you.
I know they have a tree plan, but...
We haven't had a specific
sustainability plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen that.
And it would be great to reference, the Greenway Master Plan or other plans that already exist within the county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, separately, there's been a couple meetings of more of a looser group about energy leadership for tomorrow. And Christine, you were at one of those meetings, I think, in October. And it's trying to collect the businesses, the government people. What can we do to get better on energy leadership? And a lot of that's really getting energy smart.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it's been a couple of presentations, one which for Duke Energy, talked about many of the programs they have that businesses or other people can use to reduce their energy consumption, how Duke provides these incentives to do that and so forth. And it's still getting off the ground, but there may be to tapping into that group as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very loose coalition right now.
So who's the coordinator of that?
I'd say Mountain True is probably the one hosting it, but it's more than Mountain True.
Conversation. There's not like a chair.
There was initial conversation to see if people were interested.
Okay.
People kind of said they were, but still building on getting more interest.
I think Katie's involved with that, right, Breckheimer?
Yeah, she is.
Something else that might be helpful as you're looking deeper in this process is the comprehensive plan for the county will be updated when census comes out in 2020. So I know it's not happening tomorrow, but that's something else that we've been talking about kind of building towards, because when the comprehensive plan comes out, there are elements that could be sustainability-esque in there.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that
absolutely
in mind.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like it's going to have some exciting opportunities as you dig into that.
So are we interested?
What is our role? What is it that we would be doing?
It would be to help create it.
Okay.
And then maybe first we could figure out the focus areas.
Yeah.
But or maybe bring your contact in, and then she can help us develop a game plan. Or
what are the templates from the other counties that are comparable to ours? I mean, it just seems like there should be some framework that we could look at or outline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe as a next step, we can review those over online, find some just mm-hmm. between now and the next meeting, so that whenever if Joan is able to come at the next meeting, we can also have sort of a sense of what they look like.
Okay. So maybe you could send those links to us, and that would be great.
And I want to consider having a workshop mm-hmm. once you get your plan together to finalize it. Mm-hmm. Maybe, 4 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, because I definitely, I think it's a great idea, but I'm intimidated by it. So, mm-hmm. but I'm glad to have y'all support
and bring in some outside help. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Some resources. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's even the counties where it might not seem like the best example for us in terms of their actual plan, they still go through the same processes.
Mm-hmm.
So we could just find the closest one, even if it is one that's not necessarily going to mirror what ours will look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They still did it.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can look outside of the state, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
Maybe Spartanburg or would be something somewhat similar to Henderson County. I don't know, but
possibly,
but definitely
mm-hmm.
other areas.
Greenville's mm-hmm. a little big, but
yeah. I was thinking.
It's true.
So maybe we could do some research between now and the next meeting.
Yeah, if you'll send us
research
the links.
Phase.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
And are those four buckets for the sustainability committee, are those pretty set already?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we just had it. When was that? 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I can give an update, too, about that, what kind of went on.
Okay.
So are these the goals that you guys or areas that you identified, or are they ones that came up in your research from different
Just ones I identified, just of interest. But, again, I'm definitely open to changing them.
Okay.
I just thought it was, kind of broad.
Mm-hmm. And are you thinking maybe that this plan could run tangentially with the sustainability committees in that same process?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. Yeah. Because right now, the working committee has not met yet.
Gotcha.
We've had employees tell me they're interested, and then I just need to follow up with them and have some kind of, maybe meet a coffee or something, have a working group.
And what representatives do you have on the sustainability committee at present besides the two of you?
It's pretty well attended.
Is it a broad?
It's from all departments.
Oh, wow.
Except for the sheriff's office does not have a representative yet. And some people were not at the first one, but they emailed me ahead of time.
Okay.
But,
But
well,
that sounds great.
Yeah. And then that's why I didn't want to have the working group that makes sustainability plan with everybody, because some of the employees just might have been appointed and I want them to be interested, but they might not have the time. So I want to create that subcommittee so that people that do have the time or interested, they can work on that. I didn't want to force anybody, hey, let's create this plan. But the first time, I'll talk about that later. But
great. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, the sheriff's department's a huge, huge piece of this, too. So I hope we can find somebody there, to get into reducing food waste and composting and recycling and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff over there too. And
I do want to try and get. I have someone in mind.
Good.
He's my contact for the compost pilot.
Good. Hmm. Good.
Did y'all see we made the news?
Good.
For NWLOS Henderson County about the detention center has composted 6 tons of food waste.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Since it started, and that's all just kitchen waste, not from the residents there.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really good. Really, really good.
Nice.
Go check it out. Google WLOS, Henderson County.
Mm-hmm. Great.
But it came out the same days as they renewed the ICE contract, so it was
that varied.
I'm kind of glad that maybe we had some more positive,
mm-hmm.
Something that's not as controversial.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
One aside before we leave new business, one thing we do just as a matter of housekeeping is we always have to send a report to the Board of Commissioners through Terry. Basically, it's just a summary of what we've done. Do you all want to talk about somebody who's going to lead the charge on that for the end of this fiscal year, ending June 30th, is when it's tentatively due to the Board of Commissioners.
So it's due in, like, July or August?
Generally. Yeah. The idea would be if for all committees that may, or all volunteer boards and committees that have done work up through the end of June, that they would send a report to the Board of Commissioners so they can look and say, kind of our progress report for the year. I mean, what we focused on, what our decisions were, things like that. It's kind of like Cliff Notes is probably the best analogy I could give you of what we've done. Four or five bullets for each meeting generally is how it's looked. So what we've done in the past is taken kind of meeting summaries, meeting minutes, and use those to build it out. So it doesn't take that long, but it's just a matter of housekeeping we have to do every year. So you could talk about that in July as well.
Okay. Didn't you just submit one?
Yeah, for the last year.
He was late.
That was for last year, though. Okay. So, all right. So, okay.
No. Do as I say, not as I
do. I didn't know if we had to update since last year or what the issue.
That brought them current through the end of last fiscal year.
Okay.
So yeah, I could have done a better job. All right. Well, we'll move on to old business. Greenway Master Plan.
I just want to, I guess, give update that it was voted on in April, Matt? Is that?
April 1st, actually.
Yeah, okay. So. But I just wanted to highlight, there was a huge turnout. Yeah, it was, okay. There, the overflow room and the community room were used, and so I just wanted to say that it was voted in, and it was a great turnout, so thanks everybody that was supporting that. Do you
standing ovation.
Do you want to add anything, Matt?
I don't have a lot to add for the Greenway Master Plan, but we did, luckily since it was adopted, we were able to use it extensively in our Part F application that was submitted yesterday.
Okay. So,
okay,
glad
yeah.
to hear that.
Yeah.
So hopefully, we will not hear back from Part F people until, I think, early fall, but it's there, and so we're getting letters of support right now. And then we'll send them when the Part F committee members who actually select which projects get funded, they'll get them at the same time. So they'll get our application and a whole bunch of letters of support. So
that's great. What's the focus for that Part F grant?
This was actually fixing what a lot of people refer to as the pit of despair or the mud pit down there at Jackson Park.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we'll have an elevated boardwalk for about 550 feet. So it won't resolve flooding issues because that area is going to flood because it's in a floodway, but it'll resolve the area that never drains that's permanently covered in mud. And so once the floodwaters recede, you'll be able to actually use the path again.
Okay.
So.
Great. It won't flood away?
No, it's actually like designed intentionally to withstand water. It's got like pillars on the ends that hold it in place, but it's elevated. Yeah. It should be good. The firm that was that helped us come up with the cost estimate, they had looked at examples of I think they're based out of Wisconsin, and they dealt specifically with boardwalks in marshlands, flood areas, stuff like that. So it seems like it'll be a good product.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're relieved that it's submitted. So
I'm glad it's gone.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right.
And Philip emailed me saying that he could come back in July and try and finalize the next steps for the LID statement. And I just kind of also want to talk to y'all and see what y'all were thinking. You know, we have had some staff look at it and say that, you know, they agree with it, and then also say that they could use it without it necessarily getting a vote. So I'm wondering, like, should we just let staff have this as a tool, or do y'all want to bring it to Steve Wyatt or Amy, Steve, and then the Board of Commissioners? But I think think there's kind of like two routes we could take. Does that make sense? But we could talk about this more with Philip, but and Steven, I don't think I sent that to you. But it's basically.
So if Steve Wyatt just says, tells his employees to go ahead and use it, I mean, that probably would be sufficient. Or does it, if the employees just use it by themselves, do they really have the authority they need to implement it?
I mean, we could send it to him and, you know, see what he thinks. Do you think that would be the next step?
I agree. I think it gives it more weight.
Okay.
And better buy-in if he is.
I think it would be helpful to Steve if he could see what staff commentary was on it as well, because that helps him give a, you know, really give it its full consideration.
Mm-hmm.
If folks are willing to put that in,
he's in
writing.
Yeah.
Maybe
would you pass that to Stephen?
He's not a general manager, but he's the manager of stuff that gets the county manager.
County engineer, isn't he?
Do you have any recommendations,
county
Rebecca?
Steve Wyatt is the county manager.
The manager.
Yeah.
He's everybody's boss but mine.
He's my boss. And Terry's, because Terry works for y'all.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Because she decorated his office for
and Russ works for
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terry was the only one that had nerve to decorate his office for his 60th birthday.
But I will send it to Steve, and then maybe the next meeting I'll ask Philip to attend, and we can kind of see next steps there too. But I know we're all probably looking for a conclusion, you know, either you send it to a vote or not. Cool.
Great. Do you want to work on announcements?
Yay! The next announcement's really fun. I conducted, and I'm sorry I didn't print out the pie charts, the results. That was my bad. But I did 3 waste audits at Dana Elementary in preparation for the compost pilot in the fall. And so those that are pretty new, we're going to be starting a compost pilot at that school where students are going to compost all of their food scraps in the cafeteria daily. So that's starting in August. But in preparation for that pilot, I want to get as much data as possible before it started. So currently, on average, they are throwing away about 11 trash bags a day, and 80 to 90% of their waste has shown to be compostable. And so there, I sorted with help of some lovely volunteers, 500 lunches and into the food, liquids, landfill, and recycling. And also was consistent with 5-gallon buckets, so not only do we have the weight, but we have the volume. And the reason I wanted to show that is for styrofoam. So styrofoam is like doesn't weigh anything, but it takes up 3 times as much volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to be able to compare the both. But 80 to 85% is compostable currently in their, their trash. So I'm excited to be able to show the pre and the post, how many trash bags have we diverted. And currently, I was going to do a dumpster estimate, see how full their dumpster is before it was picked up, but the cafeteria manager said I didn't have to because it's always overflowing. So right now, it is always full before it is picked up or overflowing. So I'm excited to, she said it'd be more valuable to do it afterwards. She's like, right now, don't waste your time. It's always full. But luckily, the cafeteria manager is fantastic, and I want to throw a party for her after, like, the first couple months of the compost pilot. But a cafeteria manager can either make or break a program like this. So I'm glad that she is on board. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but she takes the aluminum cans from the cafeteria and sells them and gets that money from recycling towards kids' lunches that, you know, cannot afford. She is amazing, and I don't know if there's some kind of school recognition that I could vote her for. Please let me know.
We could definitely go to the school board.
I would love to
give her recognition through the school board.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
True.
I would like to see all the schools adopt that, just that one piece of recycling the cans. I think that's a wonderful resource. That's just, I mean, we're just throwing money away.
Absolutely.
That's a positive.
Yeah.
But is there a plan to roll this out to the others, any of the other schools? Or
yes.
Okay. Yeah. And my other concern is, does that mean the kids are not eating their lunches? And
true.
Yeah.
They throw away a lot. They throw it.
Maybe somebody needs to review the lunch menus and.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's time.
Yeah.
They have a very short amount of time.
Right.
They have to go through the line and get their food. By the time they sit down, they may be looking at 5 to 10 minutes. So they just finish what they can. And
well, I know I've sat there and ate lunch with my kindergartner, second grader, and third grader grandkids, and there's a lot of talking going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the first time that they are actually able to talk. Like, I feel like they, as soon as they get in the door, it's like learn, and this is like the first social time. Because recess is after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's concerning that they're throwing away that much.
Yeah, and I have heard that, you know, if you extend lunch times,
mm-hmm.
that could help. But because I have heard also time is a big issue. But some kids, you know, still eat, you know, a lot. But it is the heaviest part of our trash,
mm-hmm.
too. So compared to, you know, plastics, it's just the heaviest part. But at least, you know, that food can be composted.
I really think it would be nice if this committee could, like, come up with, like, a certificate or a letter or something for her to present as an award to the board meeting, at the school board meeting. Because I think that's really on and beyond, and
mm-hmm.
that those are the kinds of behaviors that are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who takes that kind of initiative. So I don't know if we've done anything like that in the past. Recognize somebody
that would be
that
really good.
A lot.
Yeah,
we talked about recognizing businesses that are doing things above
right.
and beyond. But I think
right.
that's a great way to get people prideful about ways they could
mm-hmm.
take a little bit extra effort.
Yeah, maybe that's something this committee does becomes.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
committee that recognizes those who
yeah.
do things.
Well, the Green Awards, I don't know if Mountain True still does that, but there used to be Green Awards years ago that were given
mm-hmm.
out for businesses.
There's some at state level.
Yeah,
was
that right?
A recommendation
okay.
for, but that's a longer process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We can do something before then.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Just governor awards.
Yeah.
You could just make it just simple. It's
yeah.
The Environmental Advisory Committee recognizes, you know, good efforts, whatever.
Yeah.
And a little.
Just a certificate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reach out to the media maybe to help them
mm-hmm. profile the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Set to the media?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do a little story with the recognition
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could be really cool.
Or you could make awards out of old tin can.
Yeah.
Old crown or something.
That's right.
Well, I love that idea, so.
Mm-hmm.
What about the high school? You know, they're going to be planning all about planning for composting and decreasing waste. Is that anything that we're looking at right now and maybe facilities for easy composting to make it so that it's a foregone assumption that they're going to be composting and reducing waste?
I think the high schools are definitely a goal in the future.
I just
think we started with elementary because they're easy.
I got that, but that's in the planning stage.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I'm saying. Sometimes it's easier to do that in the planning than it is to retrofit. And right now, what you're doing is going back and retrofitting existing systems. And if this starts and they know going in that, you know, where's your facility for composting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's whatever. So and I don't know where that would come from. If that would come from this group or. You know, planning or whatever.
Probably the two committees can talk about it.
Okay.
You're talking about for new schools.
Well,
high
especially
school
the high school right now. I mean, that's something that's
out
now. I don't know if there is another high school. I know that one just got built not too long ago. But that's the only school that's in new, of course, a lot of renovation right now, but a lot of new construction, too.
We have not selected our next school, so
yeah,
maybe do Edneyville since it's a new school being built.
Yeah,
because
I do hear what you're saying. I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
Was there
No, just when there's a new cafeteria and there's everything's new, let's do this new system.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
Also, if it's approved, Upward will be getting a new cafeteria within the next however long it takes to renovate.
Was that a challenge at Dana Elementary, like space requirements, to be able to do the pilot there?
No, because they had a room where the mop and brooms are.
Okay.
It's just like a kind of small room before you put your tray in the window.
Okay.
So that is where the trash cans are going to go, which is, it's nice to have that designated space. But I think you can work with any space.
So did you make it easy for them to recognize what goes where? Is it the children's responsibility to put the right stuff in the right place?
Yes, and the cool thing that they have not learned this yet, but there is the INC captains. It's not compostable captains, which I've seen different composting methods, but this one, like captains, this one seems the best. Is while they're sitting, the it's not compostable captains walk around with a bucket, and they put their trash in the bucket while everyone is seated. And what helps with this is they aren't, the line isn't backed up when they try and pick it off up at the trash can. So when they stand up, all they have to do is dump and put it in the tray. So everything that's left on their tray is compostable. The milk cartons, meat, you know, everything. So if you get the trash while they're seated, they don't have to sort when they stand up. And then they take the buckets back to the kitchen washes it, and the janitors bring it back out again. So it's a really great system that Atlas Organics, the commercial compost facility that we work with, has their system.
Not to bog you down in details, but are the plates compostable?
No, they have real trays. Yes, which not a lot of schools have real. Not every school has real trays. So, but the disposable trays are styrofoam.
Yeah,
and they do have to use them.
Yep. So, but the food has to be dumped onto the tray to get rid of your trash. I don't understand the process.
Yeah, they take their real tray that has only food left on it, and they dump it, and then they take the tray and put it in the window.
Mm-hmm.
So the compost bin is next to the window.
It's not like a tray you find at a fast food restaurant that they put your food on. It's like individual sections where they scoop out your apples and put it there.
Yeah, I remember that tray.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember that tray.
Like military
tray.
Yeah,
the food's already on the tray. Yeah,
yeah.
No, you're good.
My other question was, what happens to the compost? It's collected and hauled off to the facility? Okay.
Yeah, and it is going to Greenville, South Carolina, but I forgot to put this on here, but we received funding to do a compost pilot at the Henderson County Transfer Station to do a pilot for a type 3 compost facility. So we received the Community Waste Reduction and Recycling Grant from the Department of Environmental Quality and for $20,000, and so we're going to do that pilot.
Cool.
And I think that's really exciting because we would be the one of the there's only two, we'd be the second public compost facility in the state.
Wow.
Yeah. It would be.
So you got the grant and the funding has been procured and you just have to build the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, dang.
Yeah. But the
pilot. Way to go.
So I don't want to announce this to any big media until the pilot is working. Because first I'm in the process of getting the permit, the pilot approval from the state, and then after that, my goal is to get that done in May and then get approval ready by July 1.
Kudos.
And so eventually that compost facility will collect compost from all the schools and maybe government buildings.
Yeah.
So that's why it's great to tee up the sustainability committee, so then we already have connections with everybody when we want to start this compost pilot in buildings.
What about the hospital? Hospitals?
Mm-hmm. We can look into that, yeah.
Okay.
But we are limited by how much carbon is in the county. That is our limiting factor.
Huh.
So we need twice as much carbon as we do need our food waste.
And there's no way of offsetting that?
We can maybe bring some in, but I think right now we're stuck by how much carbon we have. But it's all subject to change, you know. And hopefully this will maybe, you know, have other business compost facilities come, or I don't know. But they could always use Atlas to
start a leaf recycling program.
Yeah.
Leaf, or, I mean, there's all kinds of.
You know, they've got one in the city, but it sells out.
Yeah.
Small compared to.
What happens with the finished compost?
Yeah.
In Greenville?
Or here, once that happens.
Yes. I think we would use it maybe on the landfill, but that's still to be determined. But I think it would help with erosion control on the landfill.
It's not marketable.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't know if we want to get into that quite yet.
Mm-hmm. But can it be used for organic gardening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Could we sell it?
I mean, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Or maybe like a giveaway or something, like
yeah.
Compost giveaway. And that could kind of bring me into... Maybe we could give it away at Compost Awareness Week.
Yeah.
So that's
bring your bucket.
Next week.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, what would you say?
Bring your bucket.
Nice.
Take some home. Take home some
I do want to say one thing, too.
Oh,
that this is not, I mean, the pilot, what you're doing, I think it's great economically. I think it's great environmentally. But the impact of teaching all of these children that this is a possibility. It's just like recycling. They'll go home and say, you know, we need to scrape the food. So, you know, where's your compost pile? And things like that. So I think that, I mean, this is a huge educational advantage in this program, and it's exciting.
Well, if they grew up on a farm, they already know this. Cause
well, exactly. This is
eggs,
old. This is old stuff. This is old stuff, you know. So we're just reclaiming those practices that we used to have. And it's good for the kids to know the history of farming and how things were done and reuse.
Yeah.
Great job.
Thank you. Yeah. Farm to table to compost to farm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to, I don't want to go to landfills anymore with that food waste.
Yeah.
So.
And I do want to, I also want to commend Christine on her compost workshop at Sierra Nevada. I was disappointed that more of y'all weren't there. But anyway, it went really well. She did a great job. And she, you know, I've been composting for years and I learned lots of new, really applicable stuff. And so you did a really good job. It was very well organized. And Mike did a good job with stormwater runoff. And what was the third?
Rain barrels. Oh, and Leah from Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, yeah, the tour. So that was very well done. And it was a full room, so even a rainy, cold day. So you did a really good job planning and marketing that. And those are the kinds of efforts that are going to make a difference. And I appreciate your energy and your strategies in making those things happen.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Sure.
Because I would think this is just the beginning of a Henderson County Earth Day, Earth Week.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have one, but we need one next year, 2020, Earth Week.
Mm-hmm.
One suggestion. Have you considered coordinating with NC Co-op Extension on any of this?
Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, Renee does a nutrition class at Renee Knapp. At Dana.
Huh.
You could actually make this kind of part of that.
Oh, we were talking about, I thought you were talking about compost workshops, but you're saying maybe...
Yeah, both. I mean,
yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Because
I've already do compost workshops with
but the
Steve
workshop for sure.
At Cooperative Extension. Because we did build, did I tell you all this, the compost lab?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, there's five different compost bins on display at Cooperative Extension. But I do need to get connected with Dana and
because
Dana does have a agriculture engineering class for K through fifth grade.
Wow.
What school, what elementary school has an agriculture engineering class?
Wow.
And unfortunately, the teacher is retiring this year. So if you know anybody that is really enthusiastic that wants to maybe like apply for a job, I don't want to see that class to go away. I don't think it will, but I'm really sad to see her go.
Right candidate for that, for sure.
Because I'll be going to, we're celebrating Compost Awareness Week next week at Dana Elementary, Monday through Friday. I'll be reaching the entire school talking about composting, worms, but then also commercial composting. So they, I want them to know the difference that what you can put in your cafeteria is different than what you can put in your backyard or feed the worms. And so thank you, Rebecca, for signing the proclamation, and she designated, and the Board of Commissioners designated next week as Compost Awareness Week,
cool.
And I'm hoping to maybe get the media out there, too,
mm-hmm.
so we kind of highlight that. But again, the I'm going to wait to announce the compost pilot at Dana until it's up and running and doing is successful. You know, and I wait for Henderson County Public Schools to give the okay to announce that. Like, I don't want to make any kind of mm-hmm. press release before mm-hmm. it's working or the public schools are on board. So just talk about that. Yeah. Cool.
You should have a good trial period through the summer, because Dana usually hosts the summer lunch feeding program, too. That's a lot smaller and lower key.
I did not know that.
Dem and Sugarloaf, and last year it was Dana, so it might go back to Sugarloaf. I think they alternate those two schools.
But that would be like a smaller, manageable scale over the summer when the people kind of aren't watching, students aren't there.
Yeah.
Set things up.
Mm-hmm.
Staff.
That's a good idea. Maybe even for like future schools or, you know. All right, any more questions about Dana or composting? I'll move on to the marketing campaign. I'm working with Summit Summit Marketing to do a contamination campaign through in May and June, just kind of use up the rest of the advertising budget for this fiscal year and try and have it be interactive and maybe have through Facebook and Google Ads so we're all connected. And so have this marketing campaign on Facebook and Google, so be able to click which one of these is recyclable, and they click, and they'll find out the answer, kind of like a game.
Okay.
So that will be going on soon. We're wrapping up the details of that. And then the sustainability committee went really well and 2 weeks ago. We had a representative from almost all the departments. And again, they're doing the internal sustainability plan. We have a working subcommittee with that. And one great thing that came out of it was I'm gonna do tours of all the buildings and see their needs. And not only I'm gonna do tours with the representative from the sustainability committee, but from the janitor that is assigned to that building. So, and then also I met with Chris and Robert Allison today, and I'll be doing a recycling 101 lesson May 17th, so third week, third Wednesday. So I'm excited about that. And then also talk about the bag. There's like, you know, clear bags in some of our recycling bins to try and have the recyclables loose, which is much better than it being bagged, because the bags then just get torn apart and then thrown away. So we're working on waste first. And then volunteer opportunities, just Rhythm and Brews. I'm going to be volunteering and helping man the waste stations. If any of y'all wants to come out and, you know, you get a free beer or a T-shirt, not both. But if you're interested in volunteering, just kind of helping direct people what is compostable and what's not, then send me. Let me know if you're interested. And then the Environmental Sustainability Board with the city, they're looking for volunteers for Garden Jubilee, and they're going to have rain barrels, we're going to have compost, and pollinators there, so just to man the booth. If you're interested, let me know. And then also the Environmental Sustainability Board, or Bee City Hendersonville, not ESB, is working with the ESB and hopefully EAC on this mural on Hands-On. So have you ever heard of the Good of the Hive? This artist is going around the country and trying to paint 50,000 honeybees. And so we're going to bring one of those.
It was in the newspaper the other
day. It was? Okay, good.
Or it was online somewhere. I saw it. But
good. And their first working meeting is Monday at 3 o'clock. So if you're interested, yeah, Monday the 6th at 3 o'clock. I think 4 to 6, but I'll send you the details. It'll be either 3 or 4. But if you want to get involved with that, then I'd love to have an EAC member on that as well. But any other questions? I know that's kind of a lot. But Dana's, I'm really excited about that and the grant. So
that's really good.
Oh, and I just got back from the North Carolina State Energy Conference. And Duke Energy in 2021 is doing a shared solar program. I need to learn more about it, but I believe developers can put in proposals, and then from that, communities, like neighborhoods, can like opt in to having their energy from solar, but maybe even they needed to, they're still in the planning phases, but I kind of want them to come to Henderson County and maybe have like Laurel Park or just like a neighborhood that would be interested in either not paying extra or maybe paying a little bit more for their power to be from solar, but it needs to be like 5 megawatts and below. And you have to be within 75 miles, or I don't know, but...
Is it 5 megawatts of solar?
Or lower, yeah.
You mean five kilowatts. 5 megawatts is going to take something like 20 to 40 acres.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll look. I thought it was mega, but maybe it's kilowatts.
It could be, I mean, if it's...
Or lower.
Yeah. It's a lower.
But there's like these different criteria that the developers have to uphold to submit a proposal.
Is it for like a subdivision to do stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Or like a.
It could be several megawatts then.
Yeah.
So it's to
this whole
purchase
subdivision.
Solar material, solar energy, or is it to create solar energy yourself?
I think you would get the RECs, the renewable energy credits.
Oh.
And
they build a solar facility. The renewable energy credits are,
yeah.
You know, whenever you produce a kilowatt hour, you get a REC. And those are worth something to Duke Energy, and they could buy them from you.
Mm-hmm. But Duke Energy is also looking at creating a solar facility. Well, building an area with solar panels.
Well, they already have some. I mean, they're already in that business.
Mm-hmm. But they're looking at an area closer to here to do that.
I think in Buncombe County, right? Is it in Buncombe?
Well, there's one along the highway. I assume that was probably owned by...
That's
the Biltmore. That's
the Biltmore,
yeah. Biltmore's property.
Where they tried to grow grapes.
They tried.
I wonder what happened with it. They just didn't...
Yeah, because that was, I guess, the across from what's now known as the... Outlet Mall.
Yeah.
They used to be all like a vineyard, but I think all the grapes come from California now.
Yeah.
And I did meet the sustainability coordinator for Buncombe County, and I think they're partnering with Duke to put solar panels on a closed landfill in Buncombe County.
Oh.
So that's really exciting. I want to talk to him because maybe we could have solar panels on our closed landfill. Maybe not the one that has MSW, but we have a C&D, construction demolition, closed landfill that would emit less methane,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not any methane. I don't think it would emit any, but maybe I think that would be really cool. So when you pull in the convenience center, that big hill on the right is where we put solar panels.
Wow.
Maybe power the, I don't know. But Grady, I need to talk to you.
Sure.
Because this is out of my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Happy to.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
So in the MSW landfill, no one's collecting the methane?
It's not usable. It's not extractable good methane.
Because
I think it closed in the 90s.
Can you remember what MSW stands for?
Municipal solid waste. Oh, okay. Yes. No problem. All good. I was learning about all kinds of, like, CHP, like carbon to heat. Like, I don't know. All at the state conference.
Combined
I was like,
heat and power, CHP.
Yes. I was like, oh, my gosh. What is this? Learned about a wreck. So I felt really stupid this week, but
now you feel really informed.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Mm-hmm.
And one of the low hanging fruits was efficiency.
Yeah.
Is like I need to evaluate our buildings and see how we can just make them more efficient. Maybe not necessarily have to change that much, but just tweak a little bit and help with efficiency, save money for the county. So
it's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without spending much capital.
Yes.
All right. Anything else for the good of the group? All right. Good meeting everybody. It's been a pleasure serving with you.
Well, thank you.
I'll come
you.
Back and visit often.
Can we give Ryan a round of applause?
Yeah.
Yay, Ryan.
Been fun.
We're
going to
miss you.
So how long of a break does he get before we pull him back in?
I think is there any other boards you're interested in joining? Or?
Actually, I've been talking to the Chucks, Grady and Edwards, about Part F or Clean Water Management Trust Fund. But my wife wants to.